Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Ghost. Stamps.com. Type in Ghost. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file if you want to record it that way. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of getting your stories to us at the program. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
Well, I had an interesting morning.
How so?
Something happened to me that's never happened to me before.
You saw a ghost?
No. I got run off the road.
You got run off the road?
Got run off the road.
How?
There's a very curvy road that I take the kids to school on.
Uh-huh.
And that's about the only way to get there. And from our house to the kids' school is about 10 miles anyway. So going down this road, drop the kids off, heading back home. And I encounter on this very curvy road that winds through the mountains, that has no shoulder.
Yeah.
A double wide on a truck being pulled. And as it's making, let's see, when it's making curves going towards the left.
Mm-hmm.
It veers off into my lane and I nearly get wiped out by the double wide. And the Suburban and I both, the Suburban behind me and my car both off the road.
Yeah. How far off, like where'd you go?
All the way off the road.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was one of the spots that wasn't a cliff.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Did you chase them down then?
No, I didn't. I came home. Thankful that my car still ran. Because my car sits low.
Yeah.
Not any lower than normal cars. But
sure.
It's not up high like an SUV.
Sure.
The SUV behind me, the Suburban, was fine.
Yeah.
And I got home and I took a look at it and it's fine.
Sure.
It really wasn't a good spot to pull over and assess.
Yeah.
But no. So that was my part of my shitty ass day so far.
You came home and your computer doesn't work right.
My computer doesn't work. And to top it all off, my fucking favorite show is done.
Fixer Upper?
After season 5, it is done.
Why are they done?
They're done. I don't know why. They're done. Anyway.
Is this real? It's not like an... You ought to look that stuff up.
No,
I shouldn't be asking you that.
Yeah. I got the email with the two of them explaining that they were done.
Wow.
Like, video of them saying it. Wasn't like fake news. It was real.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, we're going to sell skincare products now.
No, it's just the topping on my shitty day.
Wow.
So, yeah. Sorry, guys. I don't get on my soapbox much, but being run off the road's not fun.
No, and it's scary around here like that. Are semis even allowed to be on those roads? I mean, not that...
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time, especially dump trucks that, you know, because there's like 4 or 5 quarries on that road.
They just need to know how to drive on said roads is the key.
Yeah. And it had the little follow in front and follow behind you know, wide load stuff, but when you're coming around the corner and you can't see, and then there's suddenly a double wide and it's taking up the whole road.
Yeah.
That was the problem. And I'm sure that they are taking that road because that's the only way to get where they were going.
Sure. Sure.
But yeah, fun stuff.
Wow. I didn't see the fixer upper thing yet. There's so many things here that I know really piss you off. I'm like, which one is worse? I don't know. It's overload.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, good news is I have a backup computer if we can't get yours to work.
I love those virus warnings. You've got a virus.
I don't think it was real.
It just dies.
Because I've been on your computer too, and I've seen that like randomly, and I don't know how or what, because I've cleaned that thing out a gazillion times.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll figure that one out. I was just reading, the good news on that is, I was reading some people say, oh, it can take 5 to 7 hours.
Shit.
So, I just leave mine on overnight, so it usually does those things, and I'm unaware of it.
Okay.
So, I'm just going to let that run for the rest of the day and see what happens and figure that out. Can't fix her up with that, though.
I'm going to go partake in some retail therapy after this.
Okay. Sounds good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Just got to talk in a real happy tone, and you'll get happy right away.
I will. I'll get
happy. That's how it'll work. Let's go to a caller at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello?
Hi, this is Jessica Harrison calling from Phoenix, Arizona. I already called and told the story, but I left out a crucial piece of it. So, but yes, like I said before, me and my partner, we are traveling through Southeast Asia, and your show is what keeps us going. We can't watch TV because it's in Thai, and we don't speak Thai, but we really love your show, and even when we were in Phoenix, it really helped me with my day-to-day commute, just getting to listen to all these people's stories. It also made me feel like I wasn't weird with the ghost experiences that I had. So I have a lot, but I'm going to tell you about a specific time that is one of my personal favorite ghost stories that happened to me. My grandma was my favorite person in the world when I was younger. I was probably like 7 or 8. My mom was in the military and my dad was a driver. And so I was left with my grandparents a lot. And so me and my grandma, we really bonded a lot, and even more so than probably my mom and her mom did. Just because grandparents, you know, they learn from their mistakes with their other kids, I suppose. But she was the mayor of our town, and, like, I even helped her, like, run for mayor and go door to door knocking on doors to get votes. And she was just this marvelous woman in our town. And so I really looked up to her. She guided me spiritually, and we just had a great bond. So she had cancer for many years. Like, they told her that she would live for like a year, and she ended up living for another like 4 or 5 years by switching to like a vegan alkaline diet. And so I didn't know that she had cancer still and that she was sick. And so towards the end of her life, my mom came home from the military on leave, and she was with my grandma, and I didn't know that at the time. And they sent us away to my other grandma's house, which is my dad's mom's house, for the summer, which wasn't weird at all because we went there every other summer. But this one particular time, I just did not want to go. I was just screaming and crying. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to do it. It was so difficult. They basically had to, like, shove me into the car to go. And every day, like, I wanted to call her, and no one would let me. And, you know, back then we'd have cell phones or text or anything. You literally had to get on the phone and call. And I did try to sneak and call her a few times, but she was never around to answer the phone. And we're from the South, so if you're not in the house, you're outside. So I just figured maybe she wasn't in the house. So one day I was outside playing, and my grandma told me to come inside. And I remember this day because I had, like, this weird eerie feeling, which for some reason I always get this feeling. I even got the same feeling the day that my dad died. But it's just kind of like I don't know, you can't quite put your finger on it, but it seems surreal. And so my grandma called me into the house, and I got on the phone, and she said, "Grandma Rabbit's on the phone," which is my grandma who was sick. I called her that after a kid's storybook about an amazing grandma that was a rabbit who was cool. And so I was like, Colonel Rabbit, you know, what? I miss you. What are you doing? Like, basically, I wanted to know everything because I really thought we were best friends. Or we were, probably, to me in my 8-year-old mind. And so she, you know, was very calm, and it sounded like she was loud and busy in a bus station. And the weird thing that I've always done since I was a kid is when I'm on the phone with people physically, I just kind of see an image of where they are. Like, I don't know if it's made up or what it is, but I, like, can always see it in my head. And so in this instance, I really saw a train station, which now that I'm older and I look back on it, it's weird because I had never been to a train station in my life. So I just saw a train station, and I heard, like, a lot of bustling and kind of like train sounds, and she was just really calm, but she was also kind of in a hurry, and she just, I kept asking her, when am I going to see you again? I miss you, you know. And she, now that I look back on it, she never told me that she was going to see me again, but she did tell me, you know, I really miss you and I love you. Do you know Grandma loves you a lot? And she just pretty much told me that, I was like, when am I going to get to go home and see you? And she told me I get to go home soon. But she didn't tell me that I would see her. But I didn't catch on to that, actually, until this conversation. And she got the phone, and I just thought it was so weird. And I went back outside to play. Maybe like an hour, 2-3 hours later, I saw my grandma in the house, and she was just kind of walking back and forth across the glass. And then eventually she called us in, and she sat us all down on the couch, and we thought we were in trouble. Like, maybe we had, like, you know, we were kids terrorizing in the South in the summertime. Maybe we broke something we weren't supposed to, but it was just really serious. She turned off the TV, and she told us that my grandma had died. And the weird thing about my grandma dying, which is, this is what I forgot in the previous story, she had died about 2 weeks prior to that, actually, like a week and a half. And the funeral was ready and everything. So she was like, yeah, we're going to have to leave tomorrow to go to the funeral. And so it was very weird for me because I asked her about it, like, but she just called and my grandma would not admit it. Like, I just freaked out as a kid because to me it made me feel like a little insane and crazy, like it didn't happen. But I knew that it did, even at the funeral, like everyone expected me to be screaming and crying, but I just sat in a rocking chair on the front porch and I didn't cry because I didn't think that she was dead. And there was nothing anyone could say to convince me that she had passed away. Because I was like, I just spoke to her. To this day, she's never appeared to me or, you know, physically or nothing like that. But I do have a lot of other ghost stories, but specifically her, I've never heard from her again or seen her again, but it's just the weirdest thing. And to this day, my grandma, she's older, and she will not, I asked her once, well, you really don't talk about things like that, but I asked her once when I got older, and she would not admit it. She just pretended like she didn't know what I was talking about. But anyway, we love your show. I love your show, and I hope you guys have a good day. I tried to keep it short, but thank you so much for making great content for us to listen to, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
I think that's so neat that she got that final call from her grandmother. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, though, if the grandmother contacted anybody else in the family and they're just not talking about
it. Sure. I wonder how often that happens, where one person has a ghost story or something like that, where they came to me, they called me, whatever, insert contact here, and the belief is the rest of the family I know is not into this. They're not going to get it. And I don't want to seem weird or special or anything like that. And it's just all kept kept to yourself. I wonder how often that happens. Then I wonder how often that happens. And there's family members realizing that it happened to another family member by listening to this show. They're like, that really sounds like my cousin, you know? And oh my God, that is. That's who they're talking. Oh, that happened to me too.
You know, I always worry though that somebody's going to be jealous if you had a visit.
Sure.
And, you know, so maybe maybe it's a good thing sometimes to not talk about it, but you can talk about it here. It's a safe place here.
You can have a smidge. You have a little smidge of the Norwegian guilt in you, don't you? Where, even though you're not Norwegian.
I would feel bad if I got a visit and somebody else didn't.
Yeah. I was going to say, I could see this happening a lot up north.
Yeah.
with how everyone feels guilty about everything. And everybody's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, that sort of thing that goes on, especially when the dead relatives show up. Thanks for the call. And thanks for sharing your experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Another pretty scary thing is not having to go to the post office and still getting your letters and your packages and all that sent out and doing it all from your home. Uh-huh. Beyond just a letter. You can use it for letters too if you want. You can literally, you know, do your postage for letters. But what I love it for is the stuff where I'm just going to be guessing at how many stamps I should be putting on something and probably overpaying quite a bit. With stamps.com, all that confusion, all that headache, that hassle of going to the post office, taken away, just evaporating into the thin air like an entity that just showed up that was your relative. And now they're like, shit, you're too busy with stamps.com. I don't have time to talk to you. Then they're just gone. But stamps.com saves you time, saves you money. You can use it to grow your business. You can use it just to save some time and be more efficient around your house. I mail our bunk bed bells using stamps.com. And it really is. It's so easy. We got that scale, put it on there. And bam, we know the weight. We know what it's going to cost to ship it. And that's all there is to it. Stamps.com brings all of the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. You can print any official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your computer and printer. It's so, so easy. They'll send you a digital scale. It automatically calculates exact postage, so you're not overpaying. Or sometimes if you're guessing low and then you get the package back and it says, please add more postage, stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter. And those things are huge. Last time I saw one, remember the postage meters?
Oh, yeah.
At like workplaces.
I remember that.
It's like, what is that weird contraption over there? I use stamps.com because it saves me time and it saves me so much money. Right now, you can enjoy the stamps.com service with our special offer. Includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in GHOST. GHOST is spelled G-H-O-S-T for those of us playing along at home. Stamps.com, enter code GHOST. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I just wanted to call in and share my ghost story. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I'm currently evacuating from Hurricane Irma, so I thought what better way to kill time than to tell my ghost story. So my ghost story starts out, it was 2015, and I was on vacation in Florida around the Fernandina Island, which is Jacksonville area, and I live in South Carolina. So I'm a huge fan of the paranormal. I take ghost tours all the time because I'm very close to Savannah, Georgia. So I decided while I'm in Fernandina Island, I'll take a ghost tour. And the first thing that struck me about this ghost tour was the lady who was giving it was very much like a grandmother type. She was very sweet, very, very loving, and you could just feel this, like, she had a very calming sense about her. And most ghost tours that I've taken, especially in the Savannah area, are very spooky, you know, and they want to get you scared and, you know. So this ghost tour, you basically went to a couple different houses and you learned about the history of the families who lived there, and all of the history was pretty pleasant. It was about loving families, and then you ended up in the graveyard and you were visiting the graves of the families who lived at the houses that you went to. So one of the first houses we went to was this beautiful house, beautiful old house. And as our tour guide was telling us a story about the people who lived there, my, like, right arm shoulder area started to hurt. And I didn't think anything of it, you know, just kept on kind of ignoring it. And then a couple minutes later, like, my chest started to get really tight. And it was almost like I'm having symptoms of a heart attack. And keep in mind, at the time, 2015, I was just turned 20, very, very healthy, in the military, very in shape. So, you know, it'd be very odd for me to have a heart attack, you know. So as we're standing in front of the house, my symptoms keep on getting worse and worse. And then as we go to the backyard, we go to the garden area, my symptoms start getting so severe that I actually have to sit down. And at the time, I was thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I am having a heart attack, which would be super weird, right? So, you know, I'm at the cusp of, you know, about saying, hey, you know, I think I'm dying. You know, I have to, sorry, excuse me for the tour. But as soon as we leave the property, I feel fine. Everything goes away. I feel right as rain. And throughout the rest of the tour, I feel fine. And the, you know, tour goes on. I feel great. We get to the graveyard, and she starts telling us, you know, about when the people who died, you know, who lived in these houses, when they died, what they died of. And she starts talking about the first house that we went to, and that's the house that I had the, like, the heart attack symptoms. And sure enough, one of the residents who lived there died of a heart attack, and he died on the day that we were doing the ghost tour. When I heard that, my jaw just dropped to the floor. I said a couple of words that I probably can't say on your podcast, but I just thought it was very weird, and I just was like, holy, holy moly. You know, I was having these symptoms of a heart attack on the day that a man died where we were. So I have a couple more. I might call in and share a couple more of my stories, but I just thought, you know, love your show. I've been meaning to call in, and what better time to do it than when I am running away from a hurricane. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
At first, I thought it was just going to be, you know, just the sensitive, the way sensitive sometimes feel spirits in the room,
mm-hmm.
you start to kind of almost have like an anxiety attack, which an anxiety attack can feel like
sure.
a heart attack. And I thought maybe that's where she was going with it. But the whole fact that somebody was, I guess, projecting their experience mm-hmm. onto her is different.
And we get that from time to time where it's I'm feeling these pains, whether it be a heart attack mm-hmm. or everything from being shot to, you know, even experiencing the flavor of food and things of that nature, where it was something that's connected with the dead person. And it's I think telepathically might be the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Where it's basically being transferred without words
yeah.
to the other individual, to the living individual, what they were doing or what they were going through, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's a real scary thing, I think, to, sure. to view as a possibility out there of what would you rather have? Would you rather have the ghost that you would just end up seeing that's standing over there as a full bodied apparition and it freaks you out? Or would you rather experience the pains of how it died?
I'd rather see it.
Yeah.
Than.
But you don't have to see it if you just get the pains. It's just
no,
the pains and you're done.
I'd rather see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not a true heart attack. You don't end up at the hospital or anything.
Well, I know, but I don't like to feel things. I'd rather
sure.
see it and yeah. see the ghost than to feel how they died.
Can you get double whammy, I wonder? Do you get like, ooh, there's the ghost? And it's like, ooh, feel this.
I think some people probably do get that.
That would suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing the story and the experience with us. Greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a recent listener of your podcast, and I'm a big fan. I listen to the stories all the time. My name is Megan, and I'm calling out of Seattle, Washington. And I want to apologize ahead of time for any noises that you hear in the background. I do have a one-year-old son, and so I wanted to share my story of dealings with a Ouija board and some very, very dark things that were in my apartment. And I wanted to use, like, a cover name because I didn't want anyone in my family who listens to know and to ask me questions, because nobody knows about this except for my husband, and we don't want to share with anybody, but it's been bothering me, and I don't really have anyone to talk to, so I decided to call the show. So me and my husband moved into an apartment right after Christmas, the beginning of January. And the apartment had a very weird vibe, but we were struggling to make ends meet, and the apartment was a good fit for our family. At the time, it had two bedrooms, It was perfect for our son. You know, there wasn't stairs or anything. And so we decided to get the apartment, ignoring the fact that there was a very strong smell in the back room that we had. We decided not to move our son into that room and to just kind of close that room off from our family. Just light some candles in there, kind of freshen it up because the smell did linger in the hallway outside of the door. And so we just didn't want to, you know, smell it. So we lit some candles in there and, you know, shut the room off. We didn't really go any in there except to store, like, toys and extra things that we didn't need. Because our son was still so little, he just slept in a crib. So we just, you know, moved everything into one bedroom and it was fine. So there have been a few strange occurrences, you know, banging, knocks on the walls. And it is an apartment building, so I kind of dismissed most of it as our neighbors. We lived on the bottom floor, so we did have people living above us. And I kind of dismissed it as them. My family is very religious, so I really never had, you know, any dealings with any paranormal things. But the occurrences kept getting worse and worse, you know, like things being thrown in the living room, you know, the smell getting worse before something happens. And so we decided to get the house blessed after a few occurrences of bangings and things being thrown in the living room. So we decided to get the house just saged. We went to our church and got some holy water just to keep in the house. We put it above all of the doors, all of the windows. We saged the house. We prayed, like, throughout the house. We prayed very loudly. I mean, it was a very small space, and so we just thought that praying in one room, you know, kind of spreads the rest of the house. And that only made things worse from there. And so the strange smell, you know, kept getting worse. It smelled like rotting flesh. And one night it was just me and my son at home by ourselves. My husband was working late, and I was sleeping on the bed with my son. And we were laying down, and I was, like, half asleep, and something jolted me awake, like something was moving in the bed. I thought it was my son at first, but he was, when I woke up and looked at him, he was sound asleep, you know, no disturbances there. And, you know, I felt it at the end of the bed, so I thought it was my husband. When I got up and looked, there was no one there. There was nothing, you know, it felt like someone was sitting at the edge of the bed and, like, moving around at the edge of the bed. And it was very weird, and it scared me. So I turned the TV on and prayed. And then there was loud banging from the end of the hall of the room. So I kept the lights on, and the banging is happening. But I kept the lights on, I kept the TV on, and waited for my husband to get home. And I told him what went on, and he just told me, you know, ignore it. It's probably nothing. And so that's what I did. I just ignored it, and I kind of dismissed it. And then it just kept getting worse and worse from there. And so we decided to bless the house again. And that made everything even worse than it was before. And the foul smell got worse, so I associated that with, I heard from many TV shows and websites that I looked up that it can mean demonic presence. So that scared me and my friend. I told my dear friend just some of the things that were going on, not very many. And she suggested using a Ouija board, but I told her I didn't want to use it in the house because I didn't want to make anything worse. So I told her, you know, we can, you know, I'm not going to participate, but, you know, if it gives us answers, you know, that's the only way that I can think to figure something out, because the saging wasn't work. The holy water seemed to do nothing. We used the Ouija board away from the apartment, and we came in contact with supposedly a little girl who was in the house. And I said some of the things that are happening. Like, I said to her, once we closed the board, I said some of the things that are happening, I don't think a little girl is capable of doing. And after we came in contact with that little girl spirit, things became increasingly more scary. the house just seemed very dark at all times. You know, I didn't want to be left alone in the house. I was fearful of my son. So I had a medium come out, and she had stated that there is no little girl here. There never was a little girl. And what we were dealing with was very, very dark. And so I had my son with me during, the medium was here, and he became very agitated. He was pushing me away. He was hitting me. And so the medium told me that I should leave, and she would finish up the session and let me know when it was okay for us to come back in. And that night, I noticed the three scratch marks on my son's shoulder that were not any doing of anyone. And they were red, and they were, you know, bumped up. You know, it looked like it had just happened. And at that point, I told my husband, you know, now whatever is in here is messing with our son. We need to leave. And I got very irritated, and I was talking to my husband, and I was like, you know, this is our house, and we're allowing this to happen. And as soon as I had stated that, there was a very loud bang, like the door in the hallway slammed, and we left that night. And we moved out shortly after that. And so I contacted the previous renters, and they had stated that the person that lived there even before them was dabbling in the occult and doing some very dark things in the house, and that is why there's a dark presence there. I fully believe that it was there to hurt us, especially the fact that it never did anything physical to us, but more physical towards my child. He's more vulnerable. Me and my husband are very religious, and, you know, my son doesn't really know anything about that. You know, he's just a baby, and so I do believe that that is why the entity chose to pick on him. Since then, we have become even more religious. We've done our research before moving into any buildings, any apartments, any houses. We've talked to people who've lived there recently, and that's my experience. And, you know, these things are very real. I was a skeptic at first before these things happened, and, you know, just knowing that this thing is very powerful, and the holy water didn't seem to affect it, and the blessings didn't seem to affect it, and the medium coming in, and the priest, and the praying, and all of our, you know, religious items around the house didn't affect it, and it just, you know, increasingly became more worse to the point of harming my son. It was very scary, and people need to be very aware. So I just wanted to share my story, and thank you guys for having a safe space for people to talk about this without any judgment. I do think that this topic is a very taboo topic, and people are very afraid to talk about it, but it is real and it does happen. So God bless you, and God bless everyone else listening. And, you know, in hard times, just pray. And you know, thank you for, again, having a safe space. And I hope that my experiences help someone else realize, you know, this is real, and there's definitely some dark forces out in the world. So thank you guys, and I'm a big fan, and God bless.
There's a good reference point there. We get the stories quite often of, should I get the house blessed? Should I do this? Should I do that? Where we say, well, you know, it could, in fact, make it worse.
Sometimes.
It's not all the time, but sometimes, and this would be one of those sometimes.
Now, she said they left that night. Did she mean that they went, you know, just for that night, or are they done with that place?
I don't know. It obviously sounds like they left eventually permanently.
Okay.
Or if it was, you know, we're done and we're going to go stay somewhere else and then, you know, go pick up our stuff later.
Right.
I don't know the answer to that.
Because that, I think, after everything they've tried, that would probably be the only resort would be to leave it.
Do you go back and get your stuff? You almost have to.
Yeah, you have to.
I mean, unless you have some sort of, you know, outside means that, like, your family's rich and we'll replace everything for you.
Right.
You know, which
right.
None of us are in that boat.
No. And, you know, I mean, that's a financial hardship. Sure. To have to flee.
Yeah.
Any type of home.
Well, that and just the sentimentality of your yeah. objects, your things. Sure. You know, there's a lot of stuff that can be easily replaced, but there's certain things you know.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, you know, it's hard enough to suddenly come up with a new deposit for a new place to rent without, you know, having to then replace all your belongings.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. So I hope things are getting better. I am curious. I'm curious what it's like to be there, if they're, because obviously it sounds like this was a little while ago. They've moved to new places. If they've been buying, if they've been using a real estate agent, what sort of questions that real estate agent gets from them?
How do you know? I mean, how does a real estate agent even know something like that? Like just dabbling in something happened on that property. You know, they can tell you, I think, flat out if somebody died.
Sure.
Not just conjuring things up.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder what the, you know, everything has so many, you know, rules and like legal rules of what you can and can't, you know, it's like the patient doctor confidentiality and all that, which that's a good thing. But there are also, you know, other restrictions out there in the world now, beyond that, where it's like, well, we can't really talk about this or that, you know, are there restrictions on, if the real estate agent is aware that the previous owner was dabbling in the occult on the property, however they found out about it, I don't know. But could they say that? Could they share that bit of information if they were aware of it? Or would that be then essentially being detrimental to the sale of that house? And then that owner of that house could be like, you're spreading rumors about my property and I'm going to sue you, you bad real estate agent, you.
I think the latter, because honestly, there's really no way unless that agent participated in the, events that she or he would know for sure that that actually happened.
Sure, sure.
So I think it's a very, you know.
You can't go down that road.
No. I mean, things like, did somebody die in the house? That could easily be found out. Mm-hmm. It's just easier to ask your agent.
Sure.
And I know we asked that when we bought this house, if anybody died in this house. Mm-hmm. And the old guy that had it said no, but you know.
Why do you ask?
Well, yeah, I mean.
This is my fifth wife.
Some religions are like, you know, they want to know that kind of stuff. Sure. Like even if like a pet had been buried on the property, they need to know those things.
I would like to know just for digging.
For digging?
Can I put a tree here or am I going to hit Scruffy?
Oh, you've seen Funny Farm too many times.
Well, I think your odds are, especially in an older house, if you're doing any sort of digging and you're going to do some landscaping in your yard or something, I would like to be somewhat mindful of it or at least know where I may potentially run into someone's dead pet.
Yeah.
It'd just be good to know. It's not that I'm going to purposely, the second you sell me the house, I'm going to go out there and dig it up and then get rid of it. It's more so, okay, well, it's under that tree over there. Maybe I'll put that flower bed by this other tree and just leave that pet to be.
Okay, question for you. With some of the stuff that, you know, we do, like home improvement kinds of stuff, say you were doing something outside and you found, you know, Snuggle's bones under something, do you change your plans and put him back, or do you move him and keep going with what you were going to do anyway?
It all depends if Smarfles is in the way of the koi pond. Like if I have to like have that space for the koi pond, or if Smarfles can sit there and nourish the plants and vegetables that I'm about to grow.
Uh-huh. So you would try and work him into the landscape.
If it wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, and I would even consider, too, depending on how important my project is, moving it, unless it was like, no, we kind of have to put this here. There's no real other options. I would do my best to just try and keep Smarfles where he is resting.
Yeah.
And then put a headstone there in my front lawn and put new wreaths on it every day.
Okay, you do that. You become the obsessive pet mourner.
For the pet that wasn't mine.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what about you?
I would try and work around it.
Yeah.
And not just totally, you know, put a fence post right through Snuffles' carcass or something. You know, I would try and plan
the most harsh thing.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of stuff that you do outside.
Somebody's listening who like lost a pet yesterday.
Well, you think about it, though. People don't generally bury their pets like right by the back door, by the patio where you barbecue. They usually bury it on the far edge of the property.
Unless you're like in the city and you have very little property.
You still, most of the time, sure. You bury it on just, the edge.
So, sometimes that is the edge right there, right?
I know.
You know what I mean? That's right by the door.
But that's why I say sure. Fence, because people, you know, put sure. Fences up around the perimeter. Yep. Say you're putting a fence in and you yeah. Find dead dog.
Sure.
Or what was a dead dog?
Yeah.
I would try and figure out how to not do that.
Disturb Smurfles.
Yeah. I've never seen Pet Cemetery, but I know that movie exists, so I don't really want to.
We're going to see it tonight.
You did get me to watch a scary movie the other night.
I did.
I watched Night of the Living Dead, the original one.
You did?
I did. The whole thing.
And I watched To Kill a Mockingbird.
You did.
The whole thing.
You did. And you didn't even play on your phone. I was so proud of you.
I think, I mean, I'm just not good at black and white movies. I know Night of the Living Dead is a black and white movie, but it, like a lot of times, for whatever reason, it's my ADD, I think, of having a hard time.
There's not moving colors.
Exactly. I need the moving colors.
Okay.
There's not moving colors. I'm gone. Unless there's zombies, then uh-huh. It's acceptable. I think the only, and this is horrible, but I think the only black and white movies I've seen are like Night of the Living Dead, To Kill a Mockingbird, Gone with the Wind.
Which is not black and white.
No, it isn't. I think the version I saw was.
It's not black
wasn't it?
And white. No.
Just a horribly faded color?
Never been black and white.
What was it? What am I thinking of then? Now, maybe not Gone with the Wind. What's the one that NBC used to play like on Thanksgiving?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Uh-huh.
That I've seen in black and white.
Yeah. I don't think you've ever seen Gone with the Wind.
No, I don't think so either.
And I don't care to see it
no.
anymore.
Okay. Well, there you go. I've seen 3 black and white movies in 35 years.
Good for you.
Getting somewhere soon. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes. Got to brand new ones for you every single week. And our whole archive there of 160-some bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com and help us stay on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.